good to be with you tonight. Thankful for all who are here. On the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Godhead. The first night, we talked about Jehovah, the Father. And then on last week, Brother Brian was discussing with us the Son of God, the Son of Man, Christ. And on tonight, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to go into all of the details. We know that we have about 45, 50 minutes, and so we're definitely going to do a little cursory study and look at some of the facts and look at how God used the Spirit in order to do many things, and I say many things. And so we're going to start with 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. If you're taking notes, we're going to be discussing the Holy Spirit. And we understand that the Godhead in and of itself is a mystery in many ways, which means that there are some things that we will not know because God has not revealed those things. Yet the things that he has revealed unto us, those are the things that we need to learn, we need to study, and we need to apply to our lives where applicable, Deuteronomy 29:29. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, God, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, received on in the world, received up, believed on in the world, received up in glory. A few things that we take notice of, we see that this is a great mystery. All right? And it is the mystery of godliness. Literally, it is God's gospel scheme of holiness. God's gospel scheme of holiness. Where God will manifest himself. He will reveal himself. And really, from my studies, that is the idea that we must grapple with. How God manifested himself. And so when we consider how God manifested himself, he manifested himself, of course, as Father, also as Son, and also as the Spirit. And so when we think about the Hagios Pneumas, the Holy Spirit, which the adjective holy in front of spirit ought to tell us something, that we're not talking about an angel. We're not talking about man's spirit. We're talking about God's spirit and the spirit that comes forth from God. And so in 1 John 5 and verse number 7, you put these in your notes, we discussed these earlier, that there are three that bear witness or record or give an account, if you will, in heaven. That's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. These three are one. And so we understand that God reveals himself in a way that it's seen in three, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. When we think about the Holy Spirit, of course, is associated part of the Godhead. When you look up that word Godhead, it literally means divine or divinity. We understand that when we consider the divine or the divine nature, it's important for us to understand because the word that is often thrown around, and it is a concept, yet it is steeped in Catholicism, Trinity. The Trinity, steeped in Catholicism. We understand that the Godhead is a divine nature. He is the divine nature. Yet the concept that we see and hear all around us is Trinity. Is there anything wrong with that concept? In and of itself, no. However, we understand that the divine nature of God is seen in the Word. It's also seen in the Holy Spirit himself. And so, no doubt, they all share that divine nature. And so we want to keep that in mind. Put these in your notes. I gave them to you on the first lesson, but I want to insert this particular point right here in Acts chapter 17, verse 29, Romans 1 and verse 20, and 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. We're also going to look at Colossians 2 and verse number 9, but we'll reserve that here for a few minutes. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit spoke what he heard. Turn to John 16 and verse 13. John 16, verse number 13, whoever has that, begin reading that, because we understand that the Father manifested himself through the Word, yea, the Son, and also through his Spirit. In John 16, verse 13, who has that?
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
So the point we want to make right here is that the Spirit of God voiced, spoke what God told him to speak. And I find it very powerful that in John 12, verse 47 to verse number 49, that Jesus, he did not speak of his own authority. He didn't go around saying what he wanted to say. Every time that Jesus spoke, Brother Royce, he spoke the words of his Father. He never spoke outside of the realm of his Father. And so we see that in a very real sense, even though this is a mystery, we can understand this part of the mystery, that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit all spoke the same things. There was never any division whatsoever. Why? Because as God reveals himself, as he manifested himself by way of the Word, spoke, and by way of the Spirit, power. Power. Okay? And so what is the Holy Spirit known as? Number one, he is not known as an it. Have you ever heard brethren call the Holy Spirit an it? I've been guilty of that when I was young in my Christianity. But even in the verse that Brother Royce just read, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. And he, you see all of those personal pronouns? God loves personal pronouns and the correct usage of them. And so when we think about the Holy Spirit, he, which is in the male gender, if you will. So put these in your notes. In John 14, 26, he, the Holy Spirit, is known as the helper. Also the comforter. Okay. The helper, the comforter. John 14, verse 26, 25 and 26 to be exact. Also John 15, verse number 26. In John 14, 26, we see something else. He's also known as the Spirit of Truth. Now that's important because when we think about the Godhead, God is truth according to Exodus chapter 33, verses 4 through 6. Now watch this, friends. God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth, John 14, 6. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is truth, John 17, 17, correct? Brother Leon, what does John 17, 17 say? Thy word is truth, which means, now consider this point. How many lies is of the truth? None. That's 1 John 2, verse number 21. Now let's put all this together real quick, because when we consider the Godhead and how he has manifested himself through the Word, through the Son, through the Christ, through the Spirit, his power, his mind, they all speak the same thing. which demonstrates to us that the Godhead can be trusted. The divine nature can be trusted. And when we obey the gospel, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit, we become part of that divine nature. We become part of that divine nature. Brethren, did you hear that? That ought to make you smile, that you can be part of the divine nature. You can take part, rather, to say that more precisely, take part in the divine nature. When you obey the Father, and the Father has left us his Son, and Brother Tobias did an excellent job this morning concerning Jesus having all authority, and him having that authority to tell his disciples, yea, even us, go into all the world. And the Holy Spirit was then sent after the Christ went back up to the Father, and now we're listening to the Spirit's word. All of them speaking the same things. Why? Because they come forth from the same source. Why? Because they're divine. They're God. And so we see that he is known as the Spirit of Truth. He's also known, according to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13, the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 28, he's known as the Spirit of God. But look at Matthew 10 and verse 20. Brother Tobias, read Matthew 10 and verse number 20. Matthew 10 and verse number 20. Again, this study is to demonstrate facts. In Matthew 10 and verse number 20, what does the Bible say?
For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you.
Now, notice, Jesus, with his own words, calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of your Father, which makes sense. So we can easily say, and won't even violate the scriptures nor the will of God, by saying that the Holy Spirit belongs to God. But we can go further than that. Look at Acts chapter 5. And Jamie, I want you to read verse 3 through verse number 4. Because we understand that the Holy Spirit is not just from God or of God, but remember Ananias and Sapphira and the egregious sin that they committed. Now, to my good brother Brian, and again, I appreciate him. And I said it this morning, I appreciate how he uses God's word and he makes it practical. And I appreciate that, because here's a practical point. When you do what Ananias and Sapphira did, you're going to get the same thing they got. Well, Brother Mike, hold on. They died on the spot. You know, when you sin against God, you die on the spot. It's spiritual. Oh, yeah. Don't make no mistake about it. You can't live in sin and think that grace is going to abound. Think grace is going to abound, right? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin what? Mm-hmm. God's teaching us a point there. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. What does the Bible say?
But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan fill thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep that part of Christ relent? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Earlier in the text, he says you lied to the Holy Spirit. Later on in the text, Brother Royce, he said you lied to who? To lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, he is God. He's God. Why? Because God is the source and God manifests himself through the word, through his spirit. All right. Any comments? Any questions? Yes. Second Peter 1:4. Okay. And Colossians 2, verse 9, we'll deal with that. Any other comments? Any other comments? So what have we garnered so far? What have we gleaned so far? Yes. Okay. Holy Spirit is a he?
Yes. And he's referred to, he's used by God to
All right. He's used by God to go forth as power. Okay. Go ahead. Eric.
I can say the word is the spirit.
All right. Okay.
They're all one.
And we'll talk more about that. We're going to clean that up, Brother Eric. We're going to clean that up. All right. Go ahead.
They're all one.
They're all one. All right. Anyone else? What else have we gleaned? All right, God can be trusted. Leon.
There is no division among them.
All right, no division among them. Can the scriptures be broken? John 10:35. Is there any lie of the truth? No. So when Jesus spoke, did he speak the words of his Father? Okay. When the Holy Spirit speak, did he speak of his own? No. Could the Holy Spirit speak anything different than the Father? No. Could Jesus speak something different than the Father? He could, but he didn't. Why? He had his own will. Remember in the garden? What did he say?
Not my will, but yours.
Okay. Yes, sir, Brother Ditmore.
His question, is this the Spirit of God we're talking about?
Yes. Wow. That's right. That's exactly who we're talking about. All right, let's go a little further. The first time we see the Spirit of God on the pages of inspiration is Genesis 1 and verse 2. And we see the Spirit of God, and he's hovering over the what? Over the face of the deep, over the waters. Okay? Now, I want us to take notice. Someone get Isaiah 61, verse number 1. And another person get Romans 8, 14 through 16. And someone else get 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. And if we could expedite this just a little bit, that would be great. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Someone get Romans 8, 14 through 16. And then someone else, 1 John 4, 1 through 6. All right. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Who has that?
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Who is this talking about? Christ. How do we know that? Because he quoted it. Where did he quote that? Luke 4. Jesus was actually quoting Isaiah, speaking of himself. He said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That's interesting. Okay. Romans 8, verses 14 through 16.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
So we see that God's people can be led by the Spirit of God. We're going to have more to say about that. That's interesting. Yes, sir. That's right.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus quotes that as for me, which means that the Lord God is upon me.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Anyone else? All right, next one. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. Who wants to read that? Go ahead, Josh.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak as of the world, and the world hears you. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
So how do I know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. How do you try the spirit? By the spirit of God that left his word. Now, about to clean up what Brother Eric said. He was right, but we want to clean that up just a little bit. All right. So he said that the Holy Spirit is the Word. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 17. He's right, but we want to clean it up. And all that we're trying to do is be precise in our language. God is a precise God. And for us to say that we cannot be precise is false. We can be precise. It just takes time. And it takes us studying, checking one another, challenging one another, scrutinizing one another to make sure that what we're saying is appropriate according to God's word. We want to adorn the doctrine. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 17, Josh, what does that say?
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Now, see, the Holy Spirit is not the word. The word is the sword of the Spirit. It's a figure of speech. And so, in other words, the words that we have in this book, they are living words. Jesus would say in John 6:63 that my words are spirit and they're what? They're life. And so the word of God is actually the instrument of the Holy Spirit. And there's your power behind it. And so when you consider this, it's a powerful thing. We're not just reading words. These words have power behind it. They have spirit behind it. And so with that being said, let us never take the word of God lightly. And it does have the power to transform our mind because it's the Holy Spirit working through his word to transform the mind. There's your power. And so when the atheist says, well, those are just mere words, that's false. Because these words actually have the power to do what? Transform the mind. Any comments? Yes. Has the power to save our souls. That's exactly right. Anyone else?
There's a tricky. Go ahead, Zach.
It's 4:12. It is in itself a living organism.
That's right. The Word of God. All right? And it's interesting that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was talking to some brothers this morning. We see our bodies and we know that there's something within us because we're animated. We're moving around. We're breathing. But without the Word of God, we would not know that the Holy Spirit has the ability to even dissect the soul and the spirit. We wouldn't know that without the Word of God. We wouldn't know that we are three parts in one being. We wouldn't even know that unless this living Word told us. Unless the Holy Spirit, who was sent forth from God by way of the Son to the apostles, wrote it down for us. All right, Eric, and then Brian.
I was going to say the word strengthens our faith that God is God, because you cannot please God without faith.
That's right. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Brian.
There have been some statements made by people like you mentioned, Matt Geaver and others, that say the word of God is information. Information.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead.
And that's kind of a, well, it's false in the sense that it's dead. But information in and of itself is not dead. Living information is just that, it's living. And so if you want to talk about information, plants, organisms, all things have a DNA-type code.
That's right.
It's information, but it's alive.
That's right.
It's not dead.
Right.
And so I heard a preacher here, Brown Trail, recently say it was information only.
That's right.
And we called and checked him on that and asked him what he meant by it. Be careful when you say that.
That's right.
It's the living word of God.
That's false to say that it's information only, because God's word has the power to do many things and is outlined in the scriptures. Any other comments? Any questions? Yes.
This isn't really in the scope of maybe the Holy Spirit necessarily, but I know several instances throughout scripture having the spirit of something is probably more in reference to maybe embodying that thing, especially throughout like the Old Testament, and the spirit of illness or the spirit of the Philistines. Are we going to touch on that?
Mm-mm. This study is focused on the Godhead only. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Brother Dipmore.
Can I ask a question then?
Yes, sir.
Saved by hope. Tell me about that.
I'll get to that. Okay? because that's going to be part of the lesson, but I'll get to that. Saved by hope. All right. Let's look at how God used the Holy Spirit in bringing forth the Son of God. Now, if you notice, I didn't say the Word of God. I said the Son of God. Okay? So in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35, we have the Holy Spirit who was sent to do what to Mary? To impregnate her. Now, the Bible teaches us that God went around the man in order to bring in the Word of God, thus the Son of God. Why did God have to go around the man? All right. Tobias said man couldn't do it. Anyone else? All right. It's a promise that the man would not be involved. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Anyone else? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Very interesting point. Yes, Leon. The seed of woman. Okay. Genesis 3:15. But why did God have to go around the man in order to bring in the Word of God? Yes, Zach. All right, it makes it miraculous. Anyone else? Yes. The lineage. Okay. Man's mind is finite.
Could it be to solidify his
sin? Say again?
Could it be to solidify his legitimacy?
To solidify his legitimacy. All right. The Holy Spirit could not come via man. Why? Holy Spirit's deity, and deity comes before what? Deity comes before what?
Humanity.
Look at Jeremiah, and I believe it's 23. And verse number, was it 32? Let me see. Jeremiah 32:11. Where is that? Where am I? It's 31:22. Now watch this passage. Jeremiah 31:22. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass or go about a man. The only way that a woman can bring forth a child is through seed. God, of course, being deity, humanity was created by God. The Word of God wasn't created. The Word of God is God. And so here the Holy Spirit is used in order to impregnate Mary, to go around the man, to bring in the Word of God, to bring in the Son of God, to bring in the Messiah. And so the Holy Spirit here is being used to actually impregnate Mary in order for our salvation process to begin. Okay, so it's no way that God could use a man because of one of the points that Brother Hedrick brought out, all have sinned. Therefore, he had to use a man that had not sinned and really a man that would not sin. He knew that Christ wasn't going to sin against him. And so here we have the Word of God becoming what? According to John 1 and verse number 1. Flesh, John 1 verse 14 rather, to be more specific. And so, put that in your notes. Remember, Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23, we see the same idea there. And remember, it's the Holy Spirit that's impregnating Mary. And what was going to be his name? Emmanuel, which literally means what? God with us. So, here we have the seed inside of Mary. And the seed came forth from the Holy Spirit. And then when she gave birth to Jesus. And why was his name Jesus? What does that mean? He will save his people from their sins. So here you have Emmanuel, God with us, and his name will be Jesus because he will be Savior. Which tells us that God himself came down to do what for us, friends? To save us. God with us. That's a powerful point. It's an amazing thing. And as Brother Tobias was saying this morning, to think about what God did for us in order to save us. He literally came down here in the flesh in order to bring us back to himself. Put in your notes 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 through 21. God was in Christ reconciling man back to himself. So we were far from him. He says, I want to bring you back and I'm going to come down and I'm going to do it myself. And so the word of God came. Any comments? How much should we be in appreciation to God for what he did for us? Just thinking about that. We ought to be very appreciative. We ought to be very appreciative. All right. So in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16, as we go into the life of Christ, we know that when he was baptized, that it was the Father and the Spirit, because we see the Father speaking through the Word after Jesus comes up from the water. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A Spirit came down upon him as a dove. And according to Matthew 3 and verse number 16, where did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus? Where? Straight to the wilderness. Straight to the wilderness. And so here we see that the Holy Spirit is going to be used to lead Jesus, the Word of God in flesh, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Brian, get John 3 verse 34. And Leon, get Colossians 2 and verse 9. Now, these are important passages. And the reason why is because when God sent forth the Spirit in order to lead Jesus Christ, he gave him the literal Spirit. In John 3 verse 34, what does the Bible say?
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure.
What does that mean, Brother Brian? God did not give the Spirit to Jesus by measure?
He was the fullness.
He was the fullness. God gave Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have Leon read his passage before I make this point. God gave Jesus Christ something. What does the Bible say?
For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body.
In him, in Christ, in Jesus' literal body, he had the fullness of the Godhead. Now, he's the only one that had that. Why is that, Brother Royce? Why is it that Jesus Christ had the literal Godhead within his body? Why? Well, this is what I'm searching for, because he's God. He was God in the flesh. None of us fit that bill. None of us could have the literal Godhead in our body like Jesus did. Jesus was also able to do what? Perform miracles. Raise the dead. Hold on. I thought the apostles were able to do that by the power of the Spirit. But it was given to them by who? Y'all remember? By Jesus. Now, we're going to stop there just on that thought process, because we know for a fact that it would be Jesus that tell his disciples that there would be some of you that would not taste of death till you receive power from on high. Mark 9 verse 1. Now that's an important point. And the reason why is because Jesus was the one that was going to be sending the Spirit to the apostles. But Jesus actually was performing miracles by the power of the Spirit. Look at Acts 10 and verse 38. In Acts 10 and verse number 38, we see something very interesting here too. Acts 10 and verse 38. Who wants to read that?
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Now Jesus went about doing good, and then it outlines the good that he was doing. And the Bible teaches us that God anointed him, meaning he consecrated him. He gave him these powers to do those things while on earth. So look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16 through 18, or verse 18 rather. And remember, we was looking at Isaiah 61, verse number 1 earlier. But in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, the Spirit of the Lord, notice what he says, is upon me because he has anointed me. He has consecrated me. He gave me this job. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so even Jesus understood, being the God-man on earth, that he was doing this through the power of the Spirit, through the power of God. Look at Matthew 12, verse 28. I really wanted to get to this particular point right here, because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, notice what Jesus says. Who wants to read that? Matthew 12, 28. Jesus was casting out spirits by whose spirit? By the Spirit of Almighty God. And remember, when he was baptized, here comes the Holy Spirit. The Father is speaking. Spirit's leading to him into the wilderness. And from that point forward, we have him casting out demons, working miracles by the power of Almighty God. Any comments, any questions before we go any further? Yes. Yes.
The Spirit did lead us to salvation and
His word.
Romans 8:11, 16, the power of God is salvation.
And that's a spiritual deadness that you're talking about. So when you think of Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, the woman whose son died in Nain, he was raised from the dead. All that was done by the power of the Spirit. Emily and then Tobias.
Might be out of our able to understand ability to understand.
Okay.
So did the Holy Spirit tell Jesus what to say and do as well, since he told him that he took him to the wilderness? Okay.
Jesus, that's a good question. Jesus actually preached by the power of God. And of course, all three speaking the same things. So they all spoke the same things. The answer would be yes.
If Jesus knew, then why did the Holy Spirit lead him when he had already known?
Well, when Jesus came into the world, or the Word of God came into the world as Jesus, he grew up like a man, like a boy, like a man like us. And so him receiving the Spirit was actually solidifying what he learned as a child. In Luke chapter 2, we understand that even at the age of 12, studying the Scriptures, that he had an understanding just studying the Scriptures. And that's before he received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized. It's actually a good question. Tobias.
So the apostles, but in
Matthew 28, he had received all power. He raised himself. Only one to do that.
Romans 1, verse number 4. Eric.
I was going to say, also Jesus had the power of God to know what were in men's hearts, too. Because, you know, he found out what they were up to when they tried to, you know, get something against them.
Eric said that Jesus had the power to know what was in men's hearts. That's John 2, verse number 24 and 25. Jesus knew what was in man, therefore he didn't commit himself to man. That's an excellent point, too. All right, anyone else? Who's? Yes.
During that time, it could have been when the kingdom came from the church.
That's exactly right. Matter of fact, Mark 9, 1, Matthew 16, 28 actually brings that point out. But it was going to be the Holy Spirit that was going to come that was going to demonstrate when the church began. Okay? When the church began. All right, anyone else? All right, let's talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation real quick. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 14, Hebrews 9 verse 14, notice what the Holy Spirit did through Jesus. All right, Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? For what purpose? To serve the living God. It was actually the Holy Spirit through Christ, working through Christ, thus leading him to do what? Obey the Father. When obeying the Father and him dying on the cross, what did that do for us? Gave us hope. What else? Because Jesus offered himself on the cross. And when he offered himself on the cross, blood and water, remember the soldier pierced him in the side? And when he pierced him in the side, the Bible says blood and water came forth. But it's that blood that purchased us, that put us in a position where we can now offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Father. Any comments? Yes. Jesus came by blood and water. That's exactly right. That's right. That's good. That's good. Anyone else? So the Holy Spirit is working through Christ in order to save us, in order to sanctify us, in order to give us the truth. I put these in your notes. So Jesus, of course, is responsible for our salvation. The Holy Spirit is responsible also for our sanctification. John 17, 17. John 17, 17. But also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. It's another great passage there. Okay? So we understand that the Word of God came forth from the Spirit. And we understand that the Word of God is the Spirit's sword, Ephesians 6 and verse number 17. So we discussed that. But look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Very familiar passage of Scripture concerning baptism. And now we're dealing more with the conscience, because it was Jesus through the Holy Spirit that offered himself, thus putting us in a position to have our conscience cleansed. And when we obey the gospel in baptism, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so through God's word, we learn what we have to do in order to have our conscience cleansed from dead works. Brethren, we could not have done that without the Holy Spirit's word. We could not know what God desired out of us unless he inspired men to write. Any comments before we go any further? Any comments? All right, let's talk about the Spirit's work concerning the apostles' doctrine. Look at Acts 2. Because we have to ask ourselves, how did the Spirit and the bride say, come? Revelation 22 and verse 17. Is the Holy Spirit speaking today like he did back then? Is he speaking through us like he did through the apostles? Did the apostles have to study the Word of God, or were they just inspired to write? Was it revealed to them? In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, notice Acts 2 and verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit that actually came down, inspired these men to speak, and they spoke in the languages of the Galileans of that particular time. And as they were speaking, these individuals knew what they needed to do in order to be saved. It is that same apostles' doctrine that we have today in this book, the Bible, the Word of God. And so, remember what Jesus said in John 16 in verse number 13 through 15, as we talked about that earlier, and how the Holy Spirit was going to guide them. Now, the context, friends, is talking about the apostles. He's going to guide them into all the truth. You even hear brethren say, well, the Holy Spirit is going to guide me into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is not guiding us into all the truth as he did the apostles. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all of the truth. So the very fact that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to guide them into all the truth, that means that the Holy Spirit didn't leave any truth on the table. That also means that there is no more revelation. God had already revealed all of his will, and he put it in this book called the Bible. Okay? And so it's the apostles' doctrine. Put in your notes 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Sir? It is the faith. Jude 3. That's exactly right. And so God would reveal his will to the apostles, and they would write that revealed will down. Now look at Ephesians 3 and look at verse number 4. Yes. Okay. Ephesians 3, look at verse 4. In Ephesians 3 and verse number 4, really 3 and 4, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed. Now watch this. By the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Now notice, the apostles were going to be receiving revelation from God by way of the Holy Spirit, thus inspiring them to write. Thereby, when we read, do you know we can understand the very thing that was revealed to Paul? That's an amazing thing, that God could actually bring forth words from heaven, spiritual words, and put them in words that we can understand, and then the apostles write it down, and here it is 2,000 years later, we're still reading the very words that the Holy Spirit gave the apostles. That's an amazing thing to me, that God himself gave us his word. And so it is those words that we are to be very thankful for. Now, real quick, we got about another 30 minutes and we're done. We don't. Now, if I was Brother Brian, I'd take an extra 10, right? Romans chapter 8, real quick. For the Christian, how do we know that we're led by the Holy Spirit today? The Christian is led by the Holy Spirit. But how? How? In Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get in Christ Jesus? Baptism. Anyone else? I heard something. Say again. All right, baptism. For by one Spirit, you're all what? Baptized into what? one body. It's the Holy Spirit that leads men to the baptismal pool. But how? Look at verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit, the teachings of the Spirit, the commands of the Spirit. And so when you think of the law, we're talking about God's instruction. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Don't have time to read that. But God's grace teaches, is law. How do I know what the Holy Spirit is teaching me? By his law, by his word. And so it is God through the Spirit that has given us spiritual words, and he has put those spiritual words in a book in order for us to read it, thus obey it, thus be led by the Spirit of God. So how do I know that I am a child of God? Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 12 through 14 of the same chapter. Verses 12 through 14, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How do I know that I'm a son of God? I put away the deeds of the flesh. What are the deeds of the flesh? The works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. When I put away sin in my life, then I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I'm being led by his words. Look at verse 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How can I know that I'm a child of God? I did what the Holy Spirit's teaching told me to do. That's how I know I'm a child of God. And so there's no secret. There's nothing mystical about this. God wants us to know that we are his children. And so the very fact that I know that, then I'm concentrating on sanctification. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Sanctification, literally, it means to be set apart. God is cleaning us up, if I can say it in our language. In 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, notice the sanctification. Seeing then, or since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, how? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit? Okay, let's keep reading. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Well, what seed is he talking about? Is he talking about a kernel of corn? Is he talking about seed from a tomato plant? What is he talking about? Well, if you keep reading, notice what he says. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What is God's incorruptible seed? It's the word of God. And the word of God is what teaches us how to live. But remember, to the point that Eric made, Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God. And so we're sanctified by the Spirit, and the Spirit uses his sword, his instrument, which is the word of God, which teaches us how to be cleaned up, if I can say it that way. And so as we close, look at Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. We need to hurry up because Finn is ready. Finn is ready. Finn said, come on now, Mike. I'm done. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit? By walking according to the word of God. By walking according to God's will. And so how do I know that I'm walking in the Spirit? Look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How do I know I'm walking in the Spirit? I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. When I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I'm not walking according to the Spirit's teaching. And so the Holy Spirit works in the Christian through the Word of God. And if we don't do that, then we're violating the Holy Spirit's teaching. Ephesians 4 verse 30, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. You know, it's possible for us to extinguish the power of God in our lives. For Paul would say, do not quench the Spirit. So here you have the power of God's word, the power of God's will in your life. Yet when you live in sin, you're putting it out. Remember, God's word is his power, and the power of his word actually teaches us to leave sin alone. And that's how men walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Any final thoughts? Yes, Brother Eric.
I was going to say the word is the light also, and the light that the Spirit is also keeps that light burning.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else? Final thoughts.
John chapter 6, verse 63, Christ even said it is the Spirit that quickens.
Let's prophesy.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are light. And even Peter, you know, he asked for disciples, you know, pardon me. And Peter said, how shall we? You have the word of life.
Now, Brother Ditmore thought I forgot of him, but I'm about to answer this right now. That Romans 8:24, saved by hope. If I'm walking according to the Spirit's teaching, there's my hope. If I step away from the Spirit's teaching, I'm hopeless. That's right.